Thank you for standing by for today's conference call. At this time, I need to remind all participants today's conference call is being recorded. Thank you so much. You can begin your call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dean. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 7th of May 2014. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Paul Stoll, Greg Shatton, Alan Greenberg, Wolf Knurban, Annick Mescalis, Chuck Gomes, Michael Graham, and Avi Doria. We have apologies from J. Scott Evans and James Liddell. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Mary Wong, Amy Bivens, James Chan, and myself, Natalie Perrigan. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Appreciate that, and sorry for a little bit of a late start for everyone, but thanks for being on the call. Does anyone have an update to your statement of interest? Not seeing any hands or hearing anyone. We'll go ahead and start the main part of our meeting. Let me ask, though, whether or not anyone is not in Adobe Connect.
Chuck, it's Annick Mescalis. I'm not in yet, but should be
okay.
Soon.
So, and just speak up if you want to say something before you get in.
So, okay.
Okay? That, just so I know.
Yeah, just working from home, and that's a little bit more complicated, so thanks.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I don't want to miss you, and so just make sure you speak out and let us know.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, our agenda is primarily to go over to start deliverable one discussion, and I see that on the screen in Adobe. So we will start right there in our discussion today. Now, I didn't see anything with regard to the principles, in particular Section D of the principles document from the subgroup that's working on that. So I'm assuming that we will postpone item 3 on the agenda till next week. Is that correct?
This is Greg Shatton, one of the subcommittee, and I regrettably must say that's correct. I'm not sure that Michael Graham's correct email was used when it was communicated to him, but I'm not sure that it wasn't. It just looked a little hinky, and the third member of the group was Tom Barrett. We will we'll do better.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the update. No, that's really not going to cause us any delays. I just wanted to make sure that we would postpone that item until next week, which will be fine. That shouldn't hinder our work today at all. So thanks again for volunteering with that along with the others. And if you can get that to the group with a little bit of lead time before next Wednesday's meeting, that would be much appreciated. Okay. I see a hand by Marika. Go ahead, Marika.
Thanks, Chuck. So this is Marika. Just a question on the working principles. Just would like to know whether it would be helpful if actually I post the latest version with big brackets between the D section with a note that that's being worked on, but at least I can maybe post it on the wiki so we have it there for reference if the sub team wants to refer to it or other members as we start now the deliberations on this topic. So just want to make sure if that's okay with everyone.
That sounds good, Marika. Thank you. Okay, so deliverable one, we have on the screen the deliverable itself to propose a process for developing GTLD and other ICANN policy in the form of GNSO policy.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Olivi.
Yeah, it's Olivi online. Thank you.
Okay. Let me just start that again. Deliverable one, propose the process for developing GTLD and other ICANN policy in the form of GNSO policy development process guidance and proposed criteria for determining when each would be appropriate. And that came out of Charter Question 2. Item A there, It has to do with reviewing the mechanisms of the GNSO, that the GNSO has used today, for developing policy and advice outside of the PDP. A couple examples are given, the statin, the STI and the SCI. See, STI is the, I forget what those initials stand for. That was a DLD, right?
Votre correspondant vous a mis en attente. Merci de passer.
Okay, if you don't, if you're not speaking, please put your phone on mute. Hopefully we'll have fewer interruptions. And the SCI is the Standing Committee on Improvements, I believe. Somebody help me out with the STI. What did that stand for?
Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation.
No, I'm talking about STI.
STI.
It had, Chuck, it's Alan, it had several different definitions over its lifetime. The one that was on the final report was special trademark issues or something like that.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I knew it was related to trademark issues for new GTLDs. It was one of the implementation actions that happened there. So those are given examples. And then last of all, A says, and what lessons can be learned from those? Now, you can see on the right the charters for both, or at least a link for the STI and a link for the SCI charter. And then there's some links there for those. Marika or Mary, would either of you be willing to discuss that those particular links and how they might relate, and maybe do a quick overview, very quick overview of those? But before I do that, and I see your hand, Marika, let me call on Alan, whose hand was up first, I think.
Yeah, just a question. In the title line, or just below the title line, we have policy development process in CAPS, which implies it is the formally defined process in the bulk of Annex A. And I thought it was within our scope to potentially propose other mechanisms, obviously not for consensus policy, but other mechanisms for setting policy here, not necessarily restricted to the formal policy development process, but having more weight than guidance, still being a formal policy process. It's not clear whether we want to end up doing that, but there's some indication when we were talking about in both the definitions discussion and the principles discussion that we might want some other processes in some cases other than the formal full-blown PDP. And I guess I'm asking, despite the use of the CAPS in that sentence, is that still within scope?
I think it definitely is, Alan. I think it needs to be.
Okay.
If you look at the parenthetical below the title, it even gets into that a little bit. I think it makes it a little clearer, maybe still not ideally clear, but if anybody disagrees with my assessment on that, please speak up. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika, and maybe first of all to Alan's question, because indeed I think the deliverable is really a bit more shorthand as what the expected outcome is, but the real scope is indeed the charter question, which talks about indeed a process for developing GTLD policy, perhaps in the form of policy guidance, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such a process for developing policy other than consensus policy instead of a GNSO policy development process. So I think that goes exactly to what you were referring to. In relation to the items that you see in the box A in relation to other review mechanisms that the GNSO has used, is basically these questions that are here in this document, they derive from the development of the work plan and as well as the mind map, as some of you may recall, where we started out on, where we basically were trying to throw out questions and ideas on what we would need to consider or think about in each of these charter questions. And here the point was basically made, maybe we should look first at some of the mechanisms the GNSO has used to date to develop policy or advice outside of the policy development process, noting that none of these are formal processes as such, or, you know, they're not in the GNSO operating procedures or anything like that, but they have been used, you know, some to greater success than others, and there may be some valuable lessons learned from that. And I think that also, you know, goes to Alan's point, seeing that here are many different variations or mechanisms that have been used, a potential outcome, of course, to this question could be as well that there multiple processes that may be proposed or recommended that the GNSO Council can avail itself of, depending on what the question is or what the issue it is it's trying to deal with. So as Chuck already referred to, you know, we have the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation, which is a standing committee. It's a different kind of model as well than the working groups that we have. The SDI is a specific activity that was taking place. And we also had several letters that were drafted either by use of a drafting team consisting of community members or council members that specifically responded to board requests for input, and several of those are referred here. The GNSO has also formed little drafting teams on providing input on some other efforts, such as the WHOIS review team final report. And most of those have taken the form of correspondence or input, either as part of a public comment forum or formal correspondence sent to the board or another entity within ICANN. So again, we would need to dive maybe a little bit deeper into how those efforts were undertaken to maybe see what lessons can be learned from those, you know, what worked, what didn't work, and should any of those be hard-coded in any kind of specific recommendations. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. I think Alan is already in the chat referring as well that we also had a drafting team that developed recommendations in relation to the Red Cross and IOC protections. And again, I think that took in the end the form of a letter, but it was quite an extensive process that went into that effort. So again, I think that's where Section A comes from. This is just a starting list. There may be other examples that people would like to add, or you know, based on experience, indicate which ones may be worth exploring further or going into further detail and to derive, you know, best practices from those.
Thank you, Marika. This is Chuck again, and Alan. You can see that Mary responded to your comment, pointing out the second bullet item there talks about the RCIOC drafting team. So on these, let me first comment, and others are welcome to jump in on this. I don't see how the SCI, the Standing Committee on Improvements for the GNSO, really helps us very much. What that group does is it looks at issues for which there has been policy in the past or actions taken in the past, including dealing with the procedures of the GNSO, and then makes recommendations for GNSO consideration for changes to those procedures or other actions that might be helpful. Does anybody disagree with me on that? Is there some value in spending time looking at the SCI chart? Olivier, did you want to say something? Marika, go ahead.
No, yes, I want to ask.
Go ahead, Olivier.
Okay, I'm glad you from Ivory. Thank you.
Okay.
I want to say that I will try to get you on Adobe chat room.
I didn't hear that fully. Can somebody help me out there?
Okay. Yes, no, yes, but I can continue. I will join you.
Okay. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika, and I typed as well in the chat. I mean, I think the reason why the SCI is there is that maybe the standing committee could be a potential model through which, you know, certain requests are channeled. Or, for example, if we talk about implementation, maybe you would have a standing committee, you know, overseeing implementation efforts, and there would be a kind of channeling mechanism. I think that's one of the reasons why it may be mentioned here. And I guess, you know, I'm just throwing out examples of how such a model maybe apply to some of the questions we're looking at, although recognizing that it's not a process on itself, but it may be a mechanism that, you know, would facilitate a certain process, for example.
This is Chuck. That makes sense. And I, of course, was looking at it in terms of the actual committee itself and what it does rather than looking at it as a technique that could be used. And that makes sense. Thanks for clarifying that, and thanks for showing your agreement there, Anne. So the SCI example is one, some sort of a standing committee is an idea that we could keep in our back pockets for consideration as we move forward in terms of recommendations for deliverable one. Thanks for that. Now, which of these are there any of these? Let me rephrase that. Are there any of these that anyone thinks would be particularly good to dig into in more depth with regard to our work? If so, speak up and let us know. Well, go ahead, Alan.
I think certainly the STI one is an interesting one to look at. There were some really strong points to it and some really negatives to it, and it may be worthwhile spending a bit of time reviewing them.
Okay, thank you. So let's flag that one. Any others as people look through those, and if you have questions about any of those, please speak up, and one of us on the call hopefully can answer your questions. Marika?
This is Marika. Possibly the correspondence on the trademark clearinghouse strawman proposal, because I think that's a very clear example where specific input was sought and a very controversial topic where I think the council tried to work through some of the different points of views and in the end did come to a result that may be worth exploring how that was managed and handled.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Actually, in companion to that one, the development of the straw man itself, I think, also bears some review. Again, some really strong good things came out of it, and some really bad things came out of it, and there are lessons to be learned there, specifically from the good parts of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Anne?
Yes, thank you, Chuck. It's Anne with IPC, but not speaking on behalf of IPC. I tend to feel that we've got to look at all of these. I'm trying to understand myself all of the processes that have been used in the past, and I noticed also here at the bottom we have this brand registry issue that's come up for resolution, and I think is on council's agenda for tomorrow. And I feel as though all these are worth studying for what was the process procedure that was followed, what are the strengths and weaknesses, and what can we learn about maybe streamlining processes so there are choices of processes versus ad hoc processes being followed. I guess I would say taking a deeper look at all of them because they are processes that have been used. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Chuck again. So are you suggesting taking time looking at each one?
Subgroup.
Oh, in other words, what you're suggesting is having a couple people maybe just take a look, or probably could even be one person, taking a look at each of these and then coming back with their assessment in terms of how it might help us. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, and probably a couple of three people to summarize what actually happened, what occurred, and what they think the strengths and weaknesses are in the processes that were followed, as Alan was discussing.
That sounds like a pretty good suggestion. Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika, and I agree. I think that will be probably worthwhile effort, and from staff side, we can definitely help in gathering some of that information. And well, at least I'm envisioning that maybe that would take the kind of form of a table where indeed we can list the different steps that were taken. And I think the point I was actually in the queue to make was it probably will be important as well to indicate in that what actually triggered that specific process, because I think as the point I've made before as well, it's not unlikely that potential outcome could be that there are different mechanisms the council may want to use or can use depending on the request that is received. So I think that part of the analysis may also be helpful in seeing what approaches did the council take based on is the board request, was a specific coming out of another process and basically trying to, you know, take that into the consideration as well as we look through the data that we get from reviewing this information.
Thank you. And Anne certainly is showing her agreement with that. Greg, go ahead.
I would suggest that an additional item or group that could be looked at would be the implementation recommendation team on trademarks that preceded the SCI. I think it, when historians look back at all this in 100 years, if they ever do, they might look at the IRT, the SCI, and the Stroma and all as being part of a single story arc. So I think it's worthwhile to throw that into the mix as well.
Thanks, Greg. Chuck again, and let's add that to our list. So we have a couple additions to the list, one from, and so let's get those on there. Now, it seems to me it would be helpful, and maybe we can use some of the space below the agenda on the right in Adobe Connect to do this, if we were to just fairly quickly list the things that we would like volunteers to do if they volunteer for one of these. And I think we start off with, if we can capture these over there, first of all is to review the relevant document, okay? And then several of you have made some good suggestions. So let's just quickly brainstorm, and you can raise your hand if you want to suggest something, what we would like the person to do so there's a clear understanding when people volunteer what we're asking them to do with regard to one of these listed items or more. So review relevant documents. What do you mean by possible subcommittee? I assume, Marika, is that you typing there?
Yeah, it is, Marika, that a possible subcommittee would review these documents, and I guess then we would list now what that subcommittee would be doing, or did I misunderstand the notes you wanted me to take?
No, I this is Chuck, and I think that's what Anne suggested. I'm going to make a comment on that. There's a whole bunch of these, and if we form a subcommittee for each one, we're going to need a lot of volunteers. We haven't had that great of success getting volunteers. So my leaning is to have at least one person that would do this and then bring it back to the full group. If there's more than one, that's great. But if we try to form a subcommittee for each one of these, how many do we have? That's a lot of subcommittees, and I'm not sure that's realistic.
No, just one subcommittee. Sorry, I'm butting in, Chuck, but I would say just one subcommittee, and they could divide up the work.
Well, we're back to where – that is Chuck again. We're back to where we were when we tried to form subcommittees on the different deliverables. And, I mean, I'm not opposed to that if people think that'll work. I was thinking, you know, since we're functioning as a working group as a whole to do these deliverables, if we had one or two people for each one of them come back, then the group could decide as a whole and identify which areas will be helpful, and we document those as part of our work. But I'm not opposed to forming a subcommittee to do this task, but let's see what other people think. Michael.
Yeah, I think we could go ahead, and since really the analysis of these, to me, seems to be fairly straightforward, although somewhat time-consuming, it's something that a single person could do in a lot of these cases. I think probably the way to go forward would be to figure out what information we would want that would be useful for us from each of these. And then I agree, we don't need to form a sub-team. We just need to get volunteers to work on these and to bring back to the work group as a whole their findings. But if there's some way that we could sort of digest what information we would find most useful from each of these and for each of them to get that same type of information, I think that would be the way to go. And then, you know, could send off everybody off into the wild with their particular area that they're looking for. I counted 10 of these, so we have 11 on the call. That's already just one person per each, unless somebody wants to double up.
Thanks, Michael. And did that include the two added ones?
Let's see, did that include the two added ones? Yes. Well, no. So that would be 12.
Okay. Thank you. Greg?
I think, you know, following on what Michael suggested, sounds like maybe if we had some sort of a template or chart to be filled out that could possibly be turned into rows on a chart, that might be helpful rather than people going kind of freehand and trying to summarize what we're getting out of these. It may be a little bit more work up front, but I think it will make the rest of the work even more straightforward and maybe even less time-consuming.
Thanks, Greg. And I wasn't necessarily thinking of a template, although that's fine. But that's what I thought we would do right now as a group, is at least identify the elements of that template so that everybody's working off the same page. And if we want to do a template, that's good. Once we have the elements, I think that it would be easy to go from there to a template. Alan.
Thank you. I may have misheard, but I thought I heard a long time ago Marika saying that staff could probably take a stab at starting each of these. And I would suggest that if I didn't mishear, that we find one or two people on this group, preferably people who actually took part in the activity, and work with the designated staff person, Marika or Mary or whoever, to try to identify it. You know, that way we're not having staff give us what they believe the history was alone. But it also has someone who perhaps works better to deadlines than us volunteers do. And, and it's a mixed effort. That might work well, if I heard correctly that there was a volunteer to begin with from staff.
Would you want to confirm that, Marika? This is Chuck.
Yeah, this is Marika. That's what I also suggested in the chat. I think, indeed, we can definitely have a go at developing a chart and a table and starting to fill in some of the basic information we can glean from the links, and then, indeed, work with either if it's some individuals or just sending it back to the whole group so people can start looking at it and adding information to it.
Yeah, it's Alan. Just one follow-on. Certainly for the groups that I participated in, and there were several of them there, I'd be glad to put my 2 cents worth in. You know, it may be a biased view, and as many of our views will be, but I'd certainly be willing to participate, and hopefully others will also.
Thanks, Alan. Michael.
So what? Maybe where we should start is to go through this list and see who we have online, who was on any of these projects. I like that idea because that certainly would save a lot of time. If you're not on the project, you would have to go through all of the weeds to find it. If you were involved in it, you'd pretty quickly be able to get that information out. I like that suggestion from Alan.
Thank you, Michael. So it sounds like we're leaning towards creating, having staff take a first crack at creating a table, and then having the rest of us help fill in the elements of that table where we can. Did I get that correct before I call on? In fact, let me call on Ann first. Ann, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. My comment was, as we are, bringing these into the realm of current events, I noticed, we have the brand registry on here. Do we need to add to this the IANA transition process? Is that something that is, somehow affected by GNSO policy development and initiated in a certain way and being initiated now?
Marika, do you want to respond to that?
This is Marika. I think at this stage what we're really looking at is those processes or efforts the GNSO has used to respond to certain board requests or deal with implementation questions. I think the NTIA transition debate is probably a much bigger picture, and even though maybe there's something in there that eventually may serve as a useful model for the GNSO, I'm not sure as part of this specific effort reviewing what the GNSO has done to date from which we can learn lessons is, and as well, it may be too premature as the, I think it's just a draft proposal at this stage. There's nothing actually yet being set in motion, so maybe too early to even review that.
This is Chuck, and I think you're right, Marika. It's in the very early processes of even starting to come up with a process for it. So there hopefully will be lots of lessons that can be learned several months down the road, but I think it may be premature as well. Alan, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, I think we should limit ourselves to things which have completed and we can have some ability to say whether it was a success or not. Other things are moving targets.
Thank you, Alan. Okay. And I see an agree down there. Thank you, Cheryl. So did I capture it correctly? Where we're headed now is to ask staff, I guess I could name Marika and Mary, to create a table with each of these items on it and then start to fill in that table. And in terms of what we fill in, we'll talk about that in just a moment over on the right of the screen. So that they have some input from us in terms of what the table may look like and what information we're looking for. And then we'll come back to the full group with that and try and complete that. Now, is the thinking that we should do that as part of a working group call or just do it on the list and, if necessary, have calls between particular individuals that have experience in certain items? Anybody want to comment on that in terms of what the thinking is? Okay. Then let's just go to the, again, working over on the right. So what do we want in that table that would be helpful to us? And we're just going to brainstorm. So just raise your hand if you'd like to throw in an element. Don't worry about the order of the elements. Just throw them out. Alan, go ahead. Which ones? What do you think we should have in there?
I think the obvious ones are, Marika said what triggered it, and that's important. Strong points, things that are in favor that we would want to replicate, and things that did not work out as well.
Thank you. That's great. Somebody else? What else would be helpful to have in
Chuck, one of those points that I'm not sure which category it fits in, and we may want a separate category, is time constraint. Some of these items were very tightly time constrained. Now, that can be considered a curse or a blessing.
Okay, so in other words,
we may want to list it separately and not try to put it in which category it was.
Thanks, Alan. So in other words, were there time constraints so that, because that could be a factor in terms of their success or failure or other issues. That's a good point.
Along with time constraint goes threat. I don't know if you want to include that one.
Let's put that there. Ann.
Yes, Chuck. Ann, I just would say a basic section dealing with after the triggering, what procedure or process or steps were actually followed.
So thanks, Ann. So like what was a drafting team developed or a
methodology.
Yeah. So okay. That's good. Very good. Somebody else. What else would you like to see in this table that would help us quickly glean from it and see whether we need to dig deeper? Marika.
This is Marika. I think following on from Alan's point, I think in addition to time constraint, I think we should actually look as well at the actual time it took from start to finish to have an idea on how much time a certain process took.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks. Greg.
Selection and composition of the group, selection methodology and composition of the group.
Okay, this is Chuck again. So, Greg, with regard to composition, you're not talking about individual names, are you? Or are you talking about what stakeholder interests they represented? What do you mean by composition?
I'm primarily thinking about the interests they represented, but as long as we're capturing information, we could capture the individual, but I'm not sure how important that is to this exercise.
Yeah, and one of the this is Chuck again, and one of the problems that comes to my mind with regard to individual names, so often it's true of this working group that we're on right now, there are lots of names that show up as participants that rarely participated, so it can be kind of misleading in that regard. I think we'd probably be better off looking at the interest areas that were represented.
I agree.
Thanks. Mary?
Thanks, Chuck. Just waiting to see if there were other hands. So one suggestion for the first point suggested by Alan, what triggered it, whether it would be useful for, if it's possible to also try to figure out who framed the issue or how the issue was framed. For example, was it a clear issue, a specific issue, or is it a general, can you do something about it, like who or how it was framed? And secondly, the nature of the outcomes. Was it a letter? Was it a report? I assume there were no public comments, but just the nature of the document or outcome.
Thank you. Let's go to Alan.
Yeah, the composition is an interesting one. Not so much the names of the people, but how it was composed. Was it a free for all that anyone could join? Was it restricted membership? Was it selected by someone? And that I think ends up actually overlapping with the pluses and minuses. But it may not be a bad thing to have as a separate column to start with.
That's a good suggestion.
The methodology for staffing, essentially.
Yeah, and I think it is real simple thing we can say. Was it open? Was it closed? Were the members selected by someone? If so, who selected them? I think that's a very good suggestion. Thank you. Any other ideas? Now, I don't think we need to try and put these in any particular order, nor do we need to group them so that similar things are closer together. I'm sure that's something that Mary and Marika could do, unless somebody thinks differently.
I trust Mary and Marika to do that. Hi, it's Ann. I trust Mary and Marika to do that.
Thanks, Ann. Okay. All right. Yeah, I do too. And if they need help, they can ask us if they have questions. So that's no problem at all. All right, Alan, is that a new hand?
That is a very ancient hand.
A very ancient one, huh?
It's now gone.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I think we have a good start here. Let me say to Mary and Marika, as you're doing this, you may think of some other things. Don't hesitate to add those. I'm sure none of us would object to that, because when you're working through something like this, you often new ideas or variations of the ones we already listed would be good too. So feel completely free to make some things, reword them, clarify things, add other variations, whatever you think would be useful for the group. I encourage you to take that freedom. Okay. Now, Mary and Marika's job security has been increased. Not that it was in jeopardy, but they have a pretty good task there. Let me ask both of them, is it too much to ask that first step be done before our next meeting, or do you need a couple weeks? What's your thinking? Marika. Marika's ready to tell us. Go ahead.
So this is Marika. I think we can definitely have, the table ready and hopefully already some of the, efforts in there. But whether we can do the whole list, that will depend a little bit on workload. But I think we will be able to share probably a first outline, and that will hopefully already give you something to comment on and see if we're heading down the right direction. And as well, for those that have been involved in those efforts, to start thinking about what else needs to be captured, but we can try and get as much information in there before the next call on Wednesday.
Thank you. I appreciate the quick response on that. So my next question for the group is this. Okay, now, do you think it would be, and we may be able to, I'm going to share a couple ideas. We may be able to do them both. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but one way to approach this is they do the table, and then in our next week's call, we start going through one by one, and people can jump in if they have questions or if they can help add to the contents of the table. Another way to approach it would be to just work offline on the table and then bring it together to the full group after that happens for a while, and I'm sure there are other variations of that. Alan, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, my inclination is to the extent that we have people who can comment on these various efforts, that we incorporate some of their comments before we bring it back to the whole group. That may well mean we're not ready for next Wednesday, but I think it's going to be a more productive effort than taking individual comments, in serially in front of the whole group.
As you can see, Anne agrees with that. I'll scroll down, see if there's any other. So Anne agrees with that. Anybody disagree with that? If not, that's the way we will go. So Mary and Marika will, I assume, send this to the whole list, and each of us that can add to particular ones need to do that, hopefully as quickly as possible, so we can make progress on question A here.
I'd say even, Chuck, it's Alan, if I may interject, even more than that, any of us on the group who know that we have some thoughts on specific of these things can simply contribute them to Mary and Marika offline.
Good suggestion.
If that makes their job easier, so much the better.
Okay. Just be clear when you do that, and I'm sure everyone would, but I'll say it anyway. Just be clear which item. You know, what might be helpful if instead of using bullets on the items, is if we numbered them, then people can easily refer to a number and make it that much easier to clarify which item is being discussed. Okay? So is there anything else that we should discuss about question A? If not, we'll go to B. Okay? Let's go on to, if we can scroll. Oh, I have the scrolling capability. Sorry about that.
We all do.
Yeah, we all do. Correct. If I can get it to fit there. I got down to C. There we go. Okay, so B is to review the draft process outlined in the staff discussion paper. Let's now strategize with regard to an effective way to tackle this action item. And Anne, is that a new hand?
Yes, thanks, Chuck. This is actually left over from A. I'm sorry I did not raise it earlier, but at one point we were talking about possibly making things a bit easier for staff also by identifying in the items in A folks on the call who were involved in the process. I wonder if it's worthwhile having people say, I was involved in that and I have comments, just so staff knows, you know.
Okay, that's good. Thank you for reminding me of that. Let's just go through them right now, and if you can click on the agree button if you were involved in these activities as I go through them, please do so. Let's start with the staff letter suggesting. Well, let's go back up to the. I don't know that we need that information for the SCI charter because that's just an idea that could be used.
Chuck, I presume you mean we're involved and want to participate in this phase.
Well, I'm welcome to have people participate even if they don't want to. But yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So
Chuck, the reason I say that is I and a few other, and maybe you and a few others were probably involved in far more of these than we want to remember.
That's
so
correct.
We may want to pick and choose.
But you'll all have comments when this gets drafted, however. So.
Okay. Let's start with STI. Raise your hand if you are particularly interested in that one. By the way, even if you weren't involved, if you're particularly interested in that particular one, you can raise your hand. So how about STI? Anybody want to identify themselves as having been associated with that? And incriminate yourself? Or
yeah,
not?
I was.
Anybody else? Okay. Let's then go down to the staff letter suggesting possibilities for the GAC GNSO collaboration on RC-IOC protections. Now, I'm kind of thinking that one, it's been a long time since that letter was drafted. Was that mainly a staff effort? Or was the letter drafted in response to GAC and GNSO input?
Chuck, this is Mary. I don't recall exactly, but it was definitely drafted by staff. I think it was signed by Kurt at the time. I don't recall what triggered it. I'm not sure that's in the letter. But in many ways, your comment does make this a very different animal from the rest of the bullet points. So maybe for this one, I'm looking quickly through the list, it could be something like the SCI charter, just like an alternative path, but not necessarily something that requires the same sort of documentation that we're suggesting for the rest.
Okay. That said, does anybody want to be associated with this one for some reason? I don't see any agrees. So, okay. Thanks, Mary. I think you're probably right on that. Let's go to the second bullet, which is formation and work of RCIOC drafting team. Now, I bet you there's several of us that can probably click on any of the ones on RCIOC. I'm certainly one of those. I guess I better follow my own instructions and raise my hand. I didn't want to raise my hand. I wanted to hit agree, huh? Sorry about that. Okay, there we go. So, Alan, me, Greg, we had a lot of fun on that one, didn't we, guys?
Greg, were you on the drafting team?
I don't know if I was on the drafting team, but I tracked that one pretty closely. I did. I was on the.
No. I was asking Greg.
Greg,
I absolutely was.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was. Believe me.
You were on the drafting for the charter for the working group. Were you also?
I was on the earlier DT. Yeah.
I
got the DTs from that one as well.
Yeah, regardless, I think that any of us associated with the RCIOC and later the IGOs and INGOs and so forth probably can be assumed to be associated with any of the ones on that particular issue. So that would include the next bullet as well, formation and work of the RCIOC drafting team. And does any new people want to add to that one? I don't see any new ones. Okay. Let's go then to the GNSO Council responses to the board requests concerning IGO protections. I suspect it's the three of us are also included there. It's very they blended together, even though the IGO issue came in a little bit later. Anybody, any new hands on that one? Still see Greg's there. Okay. So let's go down then to the board request for GNSO to consider defensive registrations at the second level in the new GTLD programs. Any agrees on that one that you want to be associated with that or would like to or have some experience there? I don't see any on that one.
Chuck, I don't actually remember that the GNSO responded to that one. Did we?
I can't remember either, Alan. I'm with you.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think Alan is correct. I think there was indeed the request from the board. I even recall a thing that staff wrote a paper, framing the issue And I think that sat for a very long time on the genus or project list, but I don't think anything happened. But it may be an example as well where there was a specific request, but actually nothing happened. And I don't know if we can identify why it didn't happen, but nothing happened, as far as I know.
We didn't have a process.
Do you think? Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
That all over the place right now, including with the IANA transition and now coming up the other accountability effort that was just introduced yesterday. And these are all really community-wide issues, and we haven't developed a cross-community working group guidelines yet. So, but anyway, should we drop that one, or do you think it's worth leaving it on there, the board request on the defensive registrations? Nothing happened. There's not going to be anything to learn from, is there?
Well, maybe there's something to learn from the fact that it didn't go anywhere, which is, in itself is kind of, it seems odd in retrospect.
Good point,
I think,
Greg.
That's absolutely right. I have my hand up, but I just have to chime in and agree that when a process fails, you know, or stalls or whatever, that we should definitely be studying that.
Good point. And is that why you raised your hand, or did you have something?
It is. It is. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's a good point. We're not dropping it. Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. Not so much dropping or retaining, but you know, just to note, like I said in the chat, that I think there was a public comment forum for this particular issue. So not so much cause and effect, but maybe that's one of the factors to consider, that maybe instead of a coordinated GNSO response, there were individual stakeholder group responses.
Okay, good point. Anne?
You know, I think Mary's point points out something else that should be in the table. Was public comment taken or not taken? And hopefully the answer is yes in every case.
Good.
You know.
And we might even want to, you don't have to add this necessarily, but we might even want to qualify, was it GNSO comments from stakeholder groups and constituencies or a public comment period or whatever. Doesn't have to be a lot of detail, but sometimes there are different ways to get public comments.
Yeah.
Like constituency statements and stuff like that. So, okay, good. Looking around, I'm not seeing anything in the chat right now. I haven't been looking at that very closely, but let's go on then to GNSO feedback on who is review team final report. There was a lot of, well, no, the who, that's specifically the who is review team final report. There's been so many who is teams, it's hard for me to keep them straight. Let me just ask, does anybody want to associate yourself with that? Not seeing anyone there. Okay. Oh, here we have a hand up. Alan.
Well, I guess I'll make a political statement first. I would not want to associate myself with the response that GNSO gave. There may be some lessons learned from it. It was not a typical working group. It was, you know, sort of one person going off and writing something and then someone going off and rewriting it, and it was a haphazard effort, and there may be some lessons to learn from it, however.
And, you know, one of the, this is Chuck again, one of the techniques that's been used in the GNSO a lot is to form a drafting team that is willing to put some things on the table, to just put out for the whole group to review and comment on. So that some of these things, all of them illustrate the fact that we don't have procedures or processes for dealing with the non-PDP issues, and there are lots of those that come up. Let's go on to correspondence on the Trademark Clearinghouse straw man proposal. Anybody want to click on agree for that? Okay, Avery, thank you. Let's go on. Alan, is that a new hand?
No, that wasn't a support for that one, but I had suggested that we include, in addition, the actual straw man process itself. And if we choose to include that, I will volunteer for that one.
I think that there was agreement earlier. We didn't really formally agree, but to include that, that was one of the two items added. So maybe we can capture that. And Alan, anybody want to join Alan in that one?
I suspect Avery may have some interest in that one also.
How is that different from what's written here? I'm not understanding why that would not be part of the description of what happened.
The description here, if I read it correctly, was the correspondence on it, the reaction to the straw man proposal, as opposed to how the straw man proposal came about.
Oh, I thought it would definitely mean the whole thing and how it came about. And
oh, I think they were two very different processes.
Alan, Chuck, again, I compliment you on getting Avery to click and agree there. Appreciate that. And thanks, Avery. Let's go on to...
This is Greg. I've got my hand up for the straw man, but not the response to the straw man.
Okay, go ahead, Greg.
I'm just putting my hand up for the straw man.
Up for an agree. I see an agree.
Agree, sorry. And maybe I also responded to the response to the straw man. For all I know, I don't know if that's a third concept.
Thanks. And keep in mind, everyone, that, you know, we don't have to be too rigid. If some of these things blend together, that's okay. What we're trying to pull out of these things, ideas, experiences that will help us, ideas to avoid and so forth, so we don't need to be too rigid on how we interpret these things. Some of you, as you're doing this, will think of other experiences that where ideas may be useful for us, and that's fine. I think we're on response to board request on closed generics. That was an interesting one. We've got Greg, Ann. Greg and Ann. Okay, thank you. And Greg, your hand's up. It's down. Okay, thanks. All right, let's go to the board request for GNSO to consider. I must have scrolled. What did I do? Okay, I need to scroll down. Okay, close generics. And then GNSO Council comments on ATRT2 recommendations.
This is Rika Chuck. We had one above that, the string similarity.
I'm sorry. Say that again, please.
It isn't Rika. There was actually one above that that says correspondence on string similarity.
I scrolled too far, huh? Thank you. Well, let's go back to string similarity. Thank you. Anybody want to raise their hand on string similarity? Okay.
Is this the issue of plurals? I'm forgetting what the correspondence was. It's Anne.
On what, Anne?
Was the correspondence on string similarity, did that also involve the issue of plurals, like hotel and hotels, and is... I'm just forgetting what.
You know, it's a good question. I think this is the link there, and Marika, or the links, can. There was a council letter and a response to the new GTLD program committee. I think that's. I don't know that got into plurals or not, but again, if in looking at this, if some of the activity that has happened and some of it's still happening with regard to the plurals issue, that's fine. If we can benefit from it, let's do it. So anybody on string similarity? Okay. I remember spending a lot of time on that in the new GTLD policy development process, but that's kind of a separate issue. That's actually part of a PDP. The GNSO Council comments on ATRT2 recommendations. I spent a lot of time in the registry stakeholder group with the comments.
I think I should volunteer Christina Rosette on that one. She's not on the call, but...
you can get her to contribute on that, feel free. We'll take
I'll let Greg tell her.
Okay. Maybe Greg should volunteer. Oh, he's on several already. So, okay. I'm not seeing any there. That's, let's not spend a lot of time making this list. So then we have the board request concerning .brand registry, the .brand registry agreement, and the NSPEC 13. That's one that's still live. In fact, the count, as I think Ann mentioned earlier, that's on the GNSO Council agenda for tomorrow. So anybody want to associate yourself with that one? Not seeing any. Okay. Oops. Now I scrolled too far again. Okay. I think it, and then there was another new – what was the other new one that, that was added today besides Allen's?
Chuck, this is Mary. This was for the IRT that preceded the STI.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Anybody want to click on an agree for that? Not seeing anyone. All right. So I don't hopefully that will be helpful, but certainly if you
– Chuck, it's Alan. I'll put my name in for that one.
Thank you, Alan.
Someone who wasn't involved in it but a student of it.
Okay. That's good enough for me. Thank you, Alan. All right. Anything else on A before we jump to B and talk about our approach there? Okay. Then let's take a look at B and see if we can talk about how we might approach that. Now, this is one that obviously staff drafted that paper, and it has a lot of good information in it. Maybe, Marika, do you, I know you were heavily involved in that. Mary probably was too. Do either of you have any suggestions about how to go about this? I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff in that paper. That paper is going to be very useful for our work. Would it be helpful to particularly pull out the parts of that paper that relate to deliverable one is my first thought, but let me let Marika talk.
Hey, yeah, this is Marika. So the actual process in there, I think, could be one of the proposals or processes that the working group may want to review as, you know, possibly a model or maybe some part of it that you like or you know, other parts you may not like. So maybe that's something to hold off on until I think we have, you know, some more information based on A, and possibly first look at C, which actually goes into some of the questions that I think will help trigger as well. You know, what is the working group's thinking around some of these issues? You know, we can definitely walk you through the draft framework that we included in the paper, but as I said, that's, I think, you know, a potential answer to the question of what kind of process could the council use, and that one was very particularly focused as well in relation to, you know, implementation-related question, as it was partly inspired as well by the process that's included in the applicant guidebook for potential changes to the applicant guidebook. So that was a bit of a basis that we used on mapping out some of the elements there. And as you'll see as well, it actually has a specific item in there that talks about policy guidance, which is also one of the things we're looking at here on how that potentially would need to be defined if indeed that is a kind of process that could be applied or a framework that could be applied. So it may be more helpful to first go through the questions and indeed determine which ones are of particular relevance to our conversation on this charter question, and then, you know, possibly come back to the framework when once we have it, I think, a clearer idea of where the group sits or what may be supported, and then dig deeper into that framework and the elements that have been incorporated there. That would be my suggestion.
Thanks, Marika. I have a question for you. Would the same apply to D? What lessons can be learned from past experience? Or do you think it would be sufficient to skip over B, go to C, and then come back to B? Or should we do B, C and D before going back to B? Thoughts on that? Chuck speaking.
Yeah, and this is Marika. Looking at Dee now, I think some of the questions in Dee we may be able to answer having done the analysis on A. Because I think that, you know, gives an indication. I think some of these examples may apply to that. So I think we could definitely, you know, start C and D. But again, I think some of the answers in D may make more sense once we actually have the information available from, you know, some of the past efforts and indeed the lessons learned that we can draw from that.
So, I see an agreement there by Anne. It's Chuck speaking again. So I think Marika's recommendation is to postpone B until we do C and D. Now, we may flip-flop a little bit, and that's okay, but does anybody object to that approach? Speak up, please. Anne agrees with the approach. Okay. Nobody's disagreeing. Okay. All right, very good. So I think that makes a lot of sense to me. So since no one else seems to disagree with that, B will be postponed, and we can probably just note that in the working group discussion column for now, until after we work on A, C, and D. So that brings us then to C. And let's talk about how we might approach that. The questions for discussion contained in the policy versus implementation draft framework prepared by ICANN staff. Marika or Mary, would one of you explain for the whole group the difference between this document, the questions for discussion and the draft framework that you prepared, and the process outline in the staff discussion paper, and do they overlap? Marika?
This is Marika, and I would have to need to look back to really get a precise answer on this, but if I recall well, I think these are the questions that basically, you know, came to our minds in looking at the framework and how to be able to, you know, address some of the question marks that are still in there, and indeed, you know, in order to be able to develop a framework, these will be some of the questions that would need to be answered, or some clear guidance would need to be given in order to, you know, fill in the details, basically. I think that's a bit the idea behind it. You know, getting a sense of where the group stands on these items will hopefully help us then as well once we get to the framework to maybe fill in some of the blanks or have a clear sense on, you know, where there would be support or where there may be less support or where alternatives may need to be sought. And I think that's where the questions come into. Again, I would need to, you know, review the question in closer detail to really make sure that all of these are really specific to this charter question. As we go through these, you know, you may believe that some of these are actually more relevant to some of the other charter questions, but I think we just put them all in here as the specific questions that were called out in that document. I look, for example, at A, talking as well about the, you know, implementation review teams and should those be mandatory. Obviously, that's also a question that relates to other charter question on implementation review teams. So again, I think part of these we may already start deliberating and just making sure that we capture notes that then it can also go into the conversation when we get to the other charter questions.
Thanks, Marika. Let me ask a follow-up question, Chuck, again. Do you have thoughts of how it might be best for us to approach the questions, and while I'm asking Marika to possibly respond to that if she wants to, if anybody else has ideas, please raise your hand. Go ahead, Marika, if you can respond to that.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think it's a question of, you know, putting the question on the table and having a discussion around it and see indeed if we get to a common position on those that we then can put out as well to the mailing list to see if indeed that is a position that is broadly shared. And, you know, once there's an agreement, we can basically list this as a kind of like, well, on this specific question, this is the working group's point of view, which we then can hopefully translate into, you know, eventual recommendations or the framework or process that we hope to have at the end of our discussions. That would be my suggestion.
So a couple ways to make that happen. One way is to take one item at a time, one question at a time, and just start off with fully open working group discussion on that, and see if we appear to be leaning towards some clear direction there. Another way would be to assign the different questions to small sub-teams of two or three people to come back with something for whole group consideration. And I'm sure there are lots of other ways we can do this too. What do people think as an approach to this, at least tentatively for now, in approaching that? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm sorry to comment again, but one thing you may want to consider as well, and it's something we've seen in some of the other efforts that are ongoing, that you may want to start off indeed with a discussion with the whole working group. And if it's pretty clear that everyone is leaning in towards a certain direction, that may be the end of the conversation. But if it's clear that there are very different views and more work may need to be done, maybe that's the moment then when a group goes off and tries to work out a compromise and comes back to the broader group for inputs. A little bit similar to what we did last week. That may be a way of not immediately setting people off on sub-teams, but still having first a general discussion, which would at the same time help inform those that may form that small group to hear the different views and have a clear idea of where the differences may lie and be able to come up with some hopeful common position.
Thank you. I mean, I personally like that approach. Anybody not like it? So the idea would be we'd take one question at a time, have an open discussion on one of our working group calls, and try and determine whether there's, relatively easy consensus, a clear direction that we're leaning towards. In some cases, the principles that we've spent quite a bit of time on will guide us. And then if needed, we can agree on another tactic if that doesn't fall out easily, and possibly form some small sub-teams that can do some work and come back to us. Anybody disagree with that approach? Okay, so let's capture that. It doesn't have to be done on screen now, but in the working group discussion column as our agreed to approach for that, and then when this document is distributed after this meeting, those that aren't on the call, of course, can quickly see how we agreed to approach these various items. Anything else on that before we go to question D? Okay. So question D is what lessons can be learned from past experience, and there are a lot of sub-items there underneath that. There's also an E, isn't there? I see. Okay, so I'm trying to figure this out because it breaks on the screen. Let me scroll. Okay, so there's an A through E underneath D. Any ideas in terms of, at least for now, how we want to approach the five items underneath D? Is it a, should we use the, I'm not trying to drive this thing too much, but just to keep things going, should we use a similar approach as to C, where we start off as a full working group and then break it down if we need to? Do I still have everybody on the call? Okay. Anybody opposed to that? Okay, Marika?
This is Marika. Maybe just to note that presumably D can only be commenced once we actually have all the information on A, as it really specifically refers to past experience.
Yes. And that's, So A is really critical in a lot of these things. I think we can hopefully next week, if we don't have the work done in A, which would be a pretty challenging accomplishment, I think, in 1 week, we may be able to start some of the discussions in C on our agenda next week, but we'll deal with that when we come to it. Okay? The last one then is E, which is what options are available for policy, consensus policy or other, and implementation efforts, and what are the criteria for determining which should be used. Now, is this one that really needs to happen after we've done most of our work in A through D? Anne agrees with that. Anybody think differently? Okay. Not seeing anyone. So E would probably be, now, again, these things may overlap and blend together, and that's okay. But the general approach, approach in E would be to tackle it after we've done a lot of the work on A through D. And we can record that in that third column as well. Alan agrees with that too? Okay. Well, we're within, I don't know, 10 minutes of the end of our call. Our next meeting is a week from now, same time, same station. Thanks for keeping the good notes in Adobe, Marika. Appreciate that. And the action item for Mary and Marika is a big one, to get the table done. And then distribute it, and each of us then should contribute, or even before then, if we have ideas on any of these things, information, input, we can send it to Mary and Marika as soon as possible. Alan, go ahead.
Just before we break, I'm not sure this is a politically correct statement to make. I'm finding an hour and a half meeting every week to be really straining. So I don't know if others are in the same position or not, but... my preference would be, despite our desire to get things done quickly, to cut back either on the timing or on the length of the meetings. I may be the only one.
You're not the only one. Anne agrees. Anybody else want to comment?
Doesn't have to be decided today, but something to think about, perhaps.
Okay. I mean, I'm willing to go with what the group suggests. Marika or Mary, would one of you send out a, or maybe Natalie can do this for us, send out a question to the full working group and ask what their preferences would be. In fact, if you want to do a simple little poll, that's okay too, whichever way is easiest. And just let's find out what the sense of the group is, not only those on the call today, but the full working group, see if there's a leaning towards 1 hour or, and we are meeting weekly, okay, so that's a good point to keep in mind. So if one of you on the staff team would send that out after this call, then we'll try and get a better feel in terms of what people wish on that. Now, again, if we got to a point where we were at a critical stage and had a time deadline, that we could up it to an hour and a half if there was real need. So it's not as if we have to lock it in forever if we made a change. Thanks, Alan, for bringing
that
up.
Thank you, Chuck.
Does anyone else have a anything to say, any action items we've left off for this meeting today? Okay, well, thanks for the cooperation. I think we have at least a high-level map of how we're going to approach Deliverable 1, and I think that's a good accomplishment. And we have some action items for the next couple weeks for all of us, after that, especially after the table, first version of the table comes out. So I certainly encourage people to participate on the list in the meantime, and we will hear all of you. Work with all of you next week in our meeting at this time.
Thank you, Chuck.
Rest of the week.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Chuck.
Bye.
Thanks, all.
Bye.
At this time, all parties are welcome to go ahead and disconnect from the call. At this time, all parties are welcome to go ahead and disconnect from the conference. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, team, and also the recordings. Thank you.
Thank you.